Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello, good morning. How are you today? It's a real pleasure to be here. Welcome to a new program, a new edition of Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English. My name is Richard Vaughn. I'm an English teacher, although I'm not here to teach you English directly. Although the program is designed to provide access or to provide a connection with the English language, and so I'm going to speak to you about Madrid, about my life in Madrid, about different periods of time in recent Madrid history, and I'm happy to have you here. So let's get going. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, well, 10:01 in the morning, so let's not waste any more time. No perdamos más tiempo. Let's not waste any more time. Sin más preámbulo. No perdamos más tiempo. Without any further ado, escrito ado, sin H, ado. Without any further ado, en fin, sin mayor preámbulo. Let's get going. So, where am I? I'm talking about my life. But I'm talking about my life as it pertains to the city of Madrid and to the province or community of Madrid and Spain in general and the world in general and the solar system, the galaxy, and the universe, my God. But I'm not going to talk about the Big Bang today or about the future of the universe. I'm not going to talk about the Milky Way, the galaxy. Aquí se dice la Vía Láctea. We decimos el Camino Lechoso. The Milky Way, Lechoso Camino, the Milky Way. No. And I'm not going to talk about the solar system, the planets. And I'm not going to talk about the world. Well, maybe about the world a little bit. In 1984, what was important? Well, in 1984, Felipe González was the president of the government or prime minister of Spain. The vice president, as you remember, was Alfonso Guerra. The minister of education, ¿quién era? Maragall, I think, yeah. And the minister, my God, I don't remember the names. The minister of justice was Fernando Ledesma. He was a student. I taught him English when he was in his ministerial office. I think 3 days a week from 10 to 11, same time I'm doing this program on Sundays. Very intelligent man, very interesting person, very nice man, very good professional in my opinion. Although I couldn't vote. You see, I'm a resident of Spain. I'm not a citizen of Spain. I've been a resident of Spain for 50 years. But I'm not a citizen, and so I can't vote. But if I had been able to vote, I would not have voted for the Socialist Party. However, that doesn't take away from the fact that I have met many members of every party in Spain, and I have found that many of them are, especially many years ago, in the early years of the Spanish democracy, in the 1970s and late 70s and throughout the 80s, I found that the politicians, most politicians and high-level bureaucrats or civil servants were outstanding people, very intelligent. Today, I don't know. I have my doubts, but nevertheless, I really don't know because I don't really pay too much attention to the political situation in any country. I have other more important topics and subjects to pay attention to in my life. And to pay attention to politics, when you don't have influence on politics beyond your vote, is like paying too much attention to football or paying too much attention to the Prince del Corazón, to the gossip magazines and things. And so I simply don't. I focus on this program. I focus on teaching English. I focus on certain types of of talks that I need to give in schools and in other associations and organizations and companies, and on managing people and processes, etc. And so I don't really spend quality time paying attention to the political situation because it's not going to have a direct impact on my life. Now, of course, if everything changed and suddenly we had a person similar to Fidel Castro that changes everything, like he changed Cuba totally, destroying the country, well, then I would it would affect me personally, yes. But here in Europe, Spain is a member of the European Union. Spain is a member of NATO. Spain is, since the transition, Spain has become a very important and a very influential member of the world community and of the European community. And so the political situation is fairly stable, despite the fact that maybe you like or dislike the current prime minister or the current government, that if you pay attention to your life, your job, your family, your objectives, your goals, your challenges, it's probably the best approach to life and to not pay too much attention to the political situation, unless, of course, you're involved in politics. Jesus of Nazareth said, "Al César lo que es de César y a Dios lo que es de Dios." And I follow a little bit. I follow that to a certain extent. I think I follow that philosophy. So I pay attention to what, to the things that have a direct or important indirect impact on my well-being and the well-being of my family and friends and people that are important to me and the people working in the organization, my organization, and to Onda Madrid too, Telemadrid, etc. But in any case, in Felipe González, I repeat, was the president of the government. Alfonso Guerra was the vice president. Fernando Morán, if you remember, was the minister of foreign affairs. And you remember all the chistes de Morán, all those Morán jokes. You see, they said, I can't remember. I only remember one or two of them, of the Morán jokes. One of the jokes was, why does Fernando Morán swim at the bottom of the ocean? Porque el señor Morán siempre nada al fondo, en el fondo del mar. Porque en el fondo no es, oh, porque en el fondo no es tan tonto. Because deep down, es que esto es traducible al inglés. Deep down, why does Mr. Morán swim at the bottom of the ocean? Because deep down, he's not so dumb. But in any case, I think Mr. Morán was a very intelligent man. I didn't necessarily agree with all of his policies or the policies of the González government, but I think Mr. Morán was a good man and a good professional. And so I don't think the the González government had a better foreign minister after that, although I believe Francisco Fernández Ordóñez became the foreign minister of Spain later, after Fernando Morán, but I don't remember. Yes. I'm going to ask ChatGPT, when was Francisco Fernández Ordóñez the foreign minister of the Spanish government? I think he was just after, in the second González government. I think Francisco Fernández Ordóñez served as the foreign minister of Spain from July 1985 to June 1992 under Prime Minister Felipe González. Okay. During his tenure, fijaos, tenure, durante su mandato, su periodo en el poder, en el ministerio, during his tenure, repito, escrito tenure, tenure. During his tenure, he played a key role in Spain's integration into the European Economic Community, which became official on January 1st, 1986. That's true. But it's also true that previous governments were also instrumental in Spain's entrance into the European Union, going all the way back to the Conde Montrico, which is José María Arelfa, under the first post-Franco government of Arias Navarro, and then later under Marcelino Oreja, and then under Fernando Morán as well. And so they all were very key in preparing the terrain, for Spain's entrance into the European Union. But in any case, that's that was so. Felipe González was the governor, and where was I? Well, in 1984, I was 33 years old. No, I wasn't. I was 32. I turned 33 in November, 1984. How many children did I have? Well, I had a wife and one daughter in 1984, but on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, which is the 5th of May, or May 5th, is a national holiday in Mexico. It's the Independence Day. And on May 5th, my son was born, Jack. He was born on May 5th, Tauro. Tauro toda la vida. Yeah. And so so starting in during 1984, I became a father of two children, and not only one. All right. And where was I living? Well, in 1984, I bought a house. I was living before that from about 1979 to 1984. I had been living in a rented flat in Barrio Concepción, Virgen del Val Street. And I was on the first floor, and I bought the flat on the third floor. Yes. Two floors above, on the same side of the elevator. Well, there was no elevator in my building at that time. So the only stairs. And so I bought the flat on the third floor for 4 million euros. Excuse me, 4 million pesetas. How much? Let me ask you. Well, I can find that out very quickly. 4 million pesetas if I can find it, let's see. 4 million, how much is 4 million pesetas? Let me find, let's see. 4 million divided by 166. So, 24,000 euros. So I bought a flat, 96 square meters. So my flat on the first floor was 92 square meters that I was renting. And so I was promoted to 96 square meters. And I bought that third floor flat. The owner of the flat was a Catalan man with four boys. He had four boys, his wife and himself. So all six were living in 96 square meters in Barrio Concepción. And it was interesting. It was an interesting family, this Catalan family. Of course, the Catalans are very famous for many things. One reason is the textile industry, la industria textil, sector textil. And this family, the business, he had a very small factory in Vallecas devoted to making flags. And that was the only thing he did, fabricante de banderas. So he made many Spanish flags, of course. And so I visited his taller, his shop, his workshop. And there was two of his sons were working there. And they were, it's incredibly, it was very interesting how beautiful the flags were. And so that's how they made a living. I don't know where they moved, but I think they stayed in Madrid. And so I bought that flat in 1984 and remodeled it. And then moved in. And I still have that flat today. I don't live in that flat. My daughter lives in that flat. It's a very nice little flat. It's 96 square meters. But it's very, very well, let's say, designed. The interior design of the flat, the interior architecture of the flat is very comfortable, very inviting. And that's where she lives. And so, but in any case, so 24,000 euros at that time is how much it cost me. And I bought it with a 5-year mortgage only. Hipoteca de 5 años. Hipoteca in English is mortgage. Se escribe mortgage, como suena. Mortgage. Pero se pronuncia diferente, claro, como siempre en inglés, mortgage. More, como más, more, mortgage. And a 5-year mortgage is una hipoteca solo a 5 años. And so that was the first time in my life I bought a house. I was 32 years old and just had my second child, my son, and a house. And so on Virgen del Val Street. But at that time, I continued usually driving to Getafe, to John Deere Iberica, the tractor maker, and to Ericsson in Leganés, in La Polígona de Leganés. But I also spent time going to Fosfórico Español. Fosfórico, ¿eso qué es? Ácido fosfórico, phosphoric acid, is one of the three necessary nutrients for fertilizantes, together with nitrogen and potassium. The plant kingdom also needs phosphorus. Those are the three basic ingredients or basic nutrients for the plant kingdom: potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. And one of probably my third most important client at that time was Fosfórico Español, which was later absorbed with Fertilizantes Españolas, FESA, Fertilizantes Españolas S.A., and then FESA Infersa, Empresa Nacional de Fertilizantes, which was a state-owned company, and then finally con Abonos Cross, and it became Fertiberia, finally, after many, many years, which is a very important company in Spain, by the way. And so it was a very important client for mine. Also, I had Coca-Cola, I had Amper, I had the future GlaxoSmithKline and things, pharmaceuticals. My company was growing, and the economy was getting better. There was a recession in the early 1980s, everywhere, a worldwide recession in the United States, in Spain, everywhere. But the Reagan administration, Ronald Reagan in Washington, had improved the economic situation in the United States after Jimmy Carter, and things were looking better. The inflation was coming down. Unemployment was coming down. And the González government was, Felipe González government was spending a lot of money on public works. Two reasons. Reason number one was autovías. They were building 4-lane highways. No autopistas, but autovías, sí. And they were building 4-lane highways everywhere in Spain. So there was a lot of public spending, which often improves the economy. And also the decision was finally made that Barcelona would host the 1992 Olympics. And so some investment was started in preparation, very early in 1984, but they were starting. And also the Expo, the World Fair in Seville. And so the idea of building the first bullet train, okay. There were a lot of reasons for optimism. And despite the fact that the González government was a socialist government, they were managing things quite well. I never would have voted for them because I'm more conservative in my approach. But they were doing a fairly good job, except with ETA. They were having problems trying to eliminate ETA or to reduce the problems with the Basque Country. And as always, Felipe González was not in his first government because he had absolute majority. But later he became dependent a bit on the Basques and on the Catalans, on Jordi Pujol and on Garaycochea. And I can't remember the name of the leader of the Basque Nationalist Party for so many years. I can't remember his name. And so the problem that persists today, even today, the current Prime Minister of Spain is extremely dependent, 100% dependent, on the Catalans and the Basques to stay in Moncloa. But again, I don't want to talk about politics. That's a subject for other people to talk about. Because I believe in democracy. I support democracy. But if I were to get involved in politics, it would be to be a dictator. Because I'm a businessman and a manager and a founder of a company, emprendedor empresario. So I call the shots. And so all my life. And so to work in a democracy, I would need to work through consensus. And I don't think I can do that. But in any case, I'll be back in just a few minutes, so please don't go away.
Teatralia, el Festival Internacional de Artes Escénicas para todos los públicos, sube el telón del 7 al 30 de marzo. Teatro, circo, títeres, música, danza y artes visuales procedentes de hasta 12 países llegan a teatros de toda la región. Venta de entradas en madrid.org/teatralia, Comunidad de Madrid.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música.
En las tardes del fin de semana, además del deporte,
Todo Música.
Te ofrecemos todos tus recuerdos musicales.
Onda Madrid Todo Música.
Discos de oro, bandas sonoras, canciones que hablan de Madrid.
Allá donde se cruzan los caminos.
Y siempre con un 50% en nuestro idioma.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música. Todo Música.
Esto es Onda Madrid Todo Música con Pedro García de Val.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello again, welcome back. All right, we're back for another half hour segment. Well, half hour, no, we're back for about 15 minutes maybe until our next break. So I have 15 minutes to say as much as I can and to expose you to the English language, to the richness of the English language. We're in 1984 and I'm living in Barrio Concepcion. My business is going well. My business has always gone well, despite recessions. I have had problems in certain periods of recession. The 1991 and 92, especially the 1992-93 recession, the 2000-2001 recession, and the 2008-2009-2010 recession, and of course, finally, the pandemic. But in any case, I have been able to get through those recessions, capearlos. Why? Because I've always been financially conservative. Even though many people believe that I am the typical entrepreneur who takes risks, que asume riesgos, and it's true. But I take very calculated risks. I'm conservative, excuse me, in calculating my risks. And so, and I have always maintained a very solid financial management of my company to such an extent that during the times of skinny cows, como se decía antaño, ya no se dice, épocas de vacas flacas, you know, in the downturns, yes, inflexiones para abajo, in the downturns of the economy, my company has been able to survive without too many problems. And that's very important if you're an entrepreneur or a business person or you run a company, you're in charge of a company, you need to keep a solid hand on the bank accounts and to make sure that there is a cierta holgura, a certain degree of, you need to be conservative. Of course, you will grow a bit more slowly, but you will run fewer risks. But I've taken risks in my life, but I repeat, always calculated, in which the worst case scenario, el peor escenario planteable, the worst case scenario would not destroy the company. I've always been very careful about that. And so, 1984, I'm living in Barrio Concepción in 96 square meters, a new house, 4 million pesetas, 26,000. But I spent another 4 million pesetas, otros 26 mil euros, in renovating the house. Reformas, se dice. En inglés no se dice reform. To renovate, renovación. In renovating the house. And so it was very nice. It was very, very nice. But it didn't have an elevator, so I had to walk up 3 flights of stairs. Because, subir 3 tramos de escalera. Bueno, 3 tramos. 3 pisos, 6 tramos. Ojo. Because you see, usually, to go from, for example, from the ground floor, planta baja, the ground floor to the first floor, you have to go up un tramo, descansillo, y otro tramo, y el descansillo, bueno, ya el primer piso. Eso, tramo, descansillo, tramo. Flight, landing, flight. O sea, en inglés, vuelo, aterrizaje, vuelo. So, if I lived on the third floor, well, I had to go up 3 floors. I had to walk up 3 floors because there wasn't an elevator. So, which means to reach one floor, I had to go up 1 flight to a landing and then to another flight. And so 6 flights of stairs, which is 57 steps, I remember. 57 steps. Now there's an elevator. I think about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they installed an elevator there. They installed an elevator in the building. So now it's not necessary to walk up 57 steps. But because I was always a good athlete, muy deportista y buen atleta, normally I went up every 2. So it wasn't 57 steps. It was about 28 steps. And sometimes a 3 and 3. And my record was, I remember once, I went from the ground floor to my 3rd floor, 57 escalones, but I did it in 17 steps. That's my record. And so I always usually stayed in good shape, although my wife was a good cook, and I could easily gain weight because of La Buena Mesa. Yes, but in any case, so I was busy working. I was busy working. I was busy doing a lot of things. And in 1984, as I said, Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States. And Felipe González was the prime minister of Spain. François Mitterrand was the president of France. Margaret Thatcher, of course, was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. John Paul II, Juan Pablo II, was the Pope. And the Premier, or the President, or the Chairman of the Politburo in Moscow, the head of the Soviet Union, was, in 1984, was Chernenko, was his name. I can't remember how long. I think he was for about 13 months. Let's see. You know, you remember Leonid Brezhnev? He died in 1982. And Yuri Andropov came to power as the Secretary General of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union in November 1982. And he lived for another 15 months. He died in 1984, in February. And the person who took over was Konstantin Chernenko. Perhaps you don't remember that. I do. I do. Because I remember there was a joke. Going back to Fernando Moran, the foreign minister of the Spanish government under Felipe González. One of the jokes los chistes de Morán, que luego son chistes de Lepe, pasaron de Morán a Lepe, cuando Morán ya desapareció de la escena política. When Fernando Morán resigned and stepped down, suddenly we had the Lepe jokes. Now we don't have any. Now we don't have any, as far as I know. But there was a joke about that when Yuri Andropov died, Felipe González, Alfonso Guerra, and Fernando Morán went to Moscow for the funeral. And Felipe González said to Chernenko, who was the new Secretary General, after the funeral, he approached and shook his hand and says, I am sorry. And Alfonso Guerra followed. He says, I am sorry too. And Fernando Morán said, I am sorry three. Okay. And so that was the joke about Fernando Morán, which is bad because Morán was a good man. But in any case, Chernenko lived fewer months. He only lived about 13 months, and he died in 1985. And that's when Mikhail Gorbachev took over. If you remember Gorbachev, of course, everybody remembers Gorbachev. And he was in power until 1991. December 25th, by the way, he lost his job on Christmas Day. Of course, the communists don't believe in celebrating Christmas Day, but nevertheless, from the religious point of view. But at the end of 1991, so he was in power. He was in power for almost 7 years. So, and that was the end of the Soviet Union. And they say that it was impossible for the Soviet Union to compete against a triumvirate of powerful figures, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, and John Paul II, who, of course, was from Poland, a Polish pope. And so it was a very interesting period. And 1984 was a very interesting year. All right. And what was happening? I don't know what was happening. In Madrid, La Movida Madrileña, of course, was happening. It was trying to redefine the cultural identity of Madrid after Franco. Although I was not crazy about the Movida Madrileña, and I really didn't have time to pay attention. I was working too hard. I didn't have time to pay attention to the Movida Madrileña. And what else was happening? Well, Real Madrid, that was the beginning of the Quinta del Buitre, I believe. Yeah. Although I think in 1984, Athletic de Bilbao was the league winner. They won the league in 1984. But after that, from 1985 to, I think, to 1991, Real Madrid. But it was an interesting year. Yes. There was a player strike, if I remember right. Si mal no recuerdo, había una huelga de jugadores. A player strike for a short period of time, but I don't remember very well. And so that was what was happening. And, of course, Spain was knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knocking on Brussels' door. Knock, knock, knocking on Brussels' door. Llamando la puerta de Bruselas. To become a member of the European Union. But in 1984, it was very clear. It was already accepted, I think, that Spain and Portugal would enter the European Union at the beginning of 1986. So they were really no longer knocking on Brussels' door, La Puerta de Bruselas. But I remember, I told you this last week or the week before, last Sunday or the Sunday before last, that I remember a cartoon, una viñeta con una puerta, es el pase de la Comunidad Económica Europea, es el pase sin llamar. No, llame sin pasar, eso era. Ya me sin pasar, was what it said. It was fun. But Spain, what was the biggest highlight of Spain? Well, if you may remember, I remember very well. Platini was very lucky to score a goal against Spain in the finals of the European Cup of nations, the European Nations Cup. Spain lost 2-0. But really, they lost 1-0 because at the very end, France scored a second goal when it was too late. But I remember that Spain was a better team. Spain had a very good team. I remember Ricardo Gallego was the midfielder, the centrocampista, and he was a very good organizer. And Spain had a very good team. And they reached the finals very strong. Of course, they were playing against France with Gires, Tigana, and Platini, and all of the great French players. But they played better. But there was a free kick that Platini kicked, and Arconada made a mistake. He couldn't control the ball. And so France was able to score a goal in the second half. Maybe in, I don't remember in what minute. I can ask. I'm going to ask just a second. In what minute did Platini score the first goal in the finals of the European Nations Cup in 1984 against Spain? Maybe we can find out in what minute that was. Platini scored the first in the 57th minute. Minuto 57. Michel Platini scored the first goal in the UEFA Champion 1984 UEFA European Champion Final against Spain in the 57th minute. His goal came from a free kick, which Spanish goalkeeper Luis Arconada mishandled, mal manejó, allowing the ball to slip into the net, deslizar dentro la portería. France won, but Spain deserved to win. But with that, I'll take another break, so I'll be right back in just a few minutes.
El Teatro Circo Price se llena de estrellas. No te pierdas el próximo mes de marzo a José Luis Rodríguez el Puma, Great Straits, Orquesta Mondragón, Café Quijano, Sole Jiménez y Juan Valderrama con Orquesta Sinfónica. Entradas ya a la venta en festivalestrellas.com. Todas tus estrellas están aquí.
Porque los toros son cultura, son arte, son espectáculo.
Los domingos de 11 a 12 de la noche, El Toril con Julio Martínez, en Onda Madrid.
¿Tienes previsto un traslado? Elige Estebaranz, porque no todas las mudanzas son iguales. Rapidez, garantía y seriedad, nuestros mejores argumentos. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz, a tu lado, transportando tus ilusiones.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello again and welcome back. Okay, 1984 in Madrid. Madrid was a bustling city. Madrid now is a very popular city. I mean, for the past 2 years, I've been saying, Madrid está de moda. Madrid is in fashion. And just yesterday or the day before, there was an article in one of the newspapers saying, Madrid está de moda. Everybody's coming to live in Madrid. Why? I don't know. It's a nice city, but Barcelona is a nice city. Valencia is a very nice city. Malaga, Seville, Granada, there are many nice cities. And Lyon and Marseille, and there are a lot of nice cities everywhere, you see. Florence or Genoa, Rome, you know, there are a lot of nice cities. Athens. But Madrid is popular. A lot of Americans are coming now to live in Madrid. Because they still offer the golden visa. El visado de oro, that means if a person arrives in Spain and deposits €500,000, 500,000 euros, in a Spanish bank or in the Spanish economy, or buys a house for €500,000, that person automatically receives residence. And so I think the current Sanchez government wants to change that, but I don't think it has become official yet. Yes, I can ask. Does the 500,000 euro golden visa policy is, I'm going to change the English on this with not does, but with is, si todavía está en vigor, is the 500 golden visa still in force in Spain? We'll find out. As of March 1st, 2025, Spain's Golden Visa program, which grants residency to non-EU citizens investing at least €500,000 in real estate, is still in effect. It's still in force. Para decir es vigente o está en vigor, o está vigente, we say en efecto o en fuerza. In effect or in force. However, the Spanish government has announced that this program will be abolished on April 3rd. It's 2 months from now, or less, as part of efforts to address the housing crisis and soaring property prices in major cities. All right. You know, I would not abolish, abolir. Abolish is abolir. I would not abolish that. I would raise it to 1 million, maybe, so more money comes in. But it's understandable. The question is, it's an interesting, this word emancipación, emancipar, a los jóvenes, you know, they live at home with their parents. And that's a common problem in Spain, Portugal, Italy, etc. But it's interesting that a lot of Americans and Brits and Irish come to Spain to teach English. And they're 22, 23, 24 years old. And they immediately find flats and apartments to live in, and sharing, of course, an apartment with three English teachers working in my company. They share flats. And they seem to get by very, very well. And they buy the flats in, they don't buy, they rent a flat in La Latina, in Embajadores, in Barrio de la Concepción or something, but they don't have any problem. I think it's just these young kids, a 24-year-old boy or girl, if they want to leave home, they can do it if they get together, if they have a job, of course. You get together with two other friends and rent an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, with three people, and two of them share a room, and the other whatever. You can always work something out where you can be emancipado, as you say in Spanish. There's a lot of complaints about that. And it's interesting because the Spanish educational system, el Ministerio, the Ministry of Education in Spain, has a concept called auxiliares de conversación for the colegios bilingües. And so hundreds and thousands of, a lot of Americans, especially Americans and Canadians, come to Spain to be auxiliar. And they receive 1,000 euros a month. So, 1,000 euristas. But they always find a place to live. I know a group of three who are living in La Latina. Okay. And they always find a place to live. No problem. Among the three of them, they earn 3,000 a month. Okay. Well, if you live in a flat in which, you know, 3,000 a month among the three, if the rent is 1,500, well, those three then each have 500 euros of discretionary income for the rest of the month. And a menú del día, you know, costs 12 euros, you see. It's a 12 euros times 10 days, 20. They can do it. They can work it out. Or they can find with four people living in a two-bedroom apartment. And so, of course, they have to share a bedroom. I shared bedrooms when I came to Spain. I lived in a bedroom on Doctor Esquerdo Street, sharing a bedroom with another American student. And when I first came to Spain, I shared a bedroom on Rosales Street with another student. And so it was common, you know, you just, when you're 22, 23, 24 years old, living this way is interesting and it's fun. You see, you don't need to be a prima donna, you see, in these things. But let's get back to 1984 and what was happening in Spain and the world. 1984 was an interesting year because it was the celebration of the famous novel by George Orwell, 1984. What events were happening in the world at that time? Well, in Spain, there was a cultural event concerning the novel 1984, George Orwell's 1984 in the Spanish Civil War, in which they discussed and analyzed the book, the novel, the famous novel 1984, and they discussed George Orwell's experiences during the Spanish Civil War. And Orwell, if you're not familiar with George Orwell, he was a brilliant writer. His two most famous novels were Animal Farm and 1984. Now, perhaps you're familiar with Animal Farm because it was in Spanish, it's called Rebelión en la Granja. He was a sympathizer of communism. But after his experience in Spain, especially in Barcelona and in Catalunya in La Batalla del Ebro during the Spanish Civil War, his perspective on communism changed dramatically, especially on the totalitarian nature of communism. And that prompted him to write Rebelión en la Granja, Animal Farm, which is a brilliant take on communism. I'm not going to explain it, but if you are curious, I highly recommend that you read Animal Farm or Rebelión en la Granja, which is exactly what happened in communist Russia, in the Soviet Union, and in communist China. And it has happened in every country that has tried to impose communism. It happened in Cuba. It has happened in Venezuela. And so you can, reading Rebelión en la Granja, you can see. It is simply a farm in which the animals rise up and kill the farmer. And they take over the farm. But I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. And 1984 is simply a novel about totalitarianism. And so 1984 was a very important year for many people. And what was happening in technology? Well, Apple computer, yes, and the PC. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And the Apple computer they had Apple II in Macintosh. You remember the Macintosh? Well, the Macintosh came out in 1983 and 1984. But at the same time, el PC through IBM. And with the MS-DOS, Microsoft Disk Operating System, MS-DOS, MS-DOS, was the Bill Gates system. And Bill Gates convinced IBM, to adopt his operating system in order to compete against Steve Jobs and Macintosh and Apple II computers. And the rest is history. And so we still have the difference between los Mac, a Mac, and a PC. We say Mac y PC, un Mac y un PC, personal computer. And that was in 1984, was one of the most important years in the development of these things. What else happened in 1984, despite losing in the final against Platini in France? The Summer Olympics. They took place in Los Angeles. And these Olympics were profitable for the United States because California had the good sense to hand over the organization, preparation, and management of the Olympics to a private group with con ánimo de lucro, with a profit motive. And they were very successful. And the most famous person at that time in the Olympics was Carl Lewis, Carl Lewis. You remember Carl Lewis won the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the long jump, and the 4x100 meter relay. So Carl Lewis won 4 gold medals in the Summer Olympics in 1984. Abascal. No me acuerdo su nombre de pila. José Abascal? No. Juan Abascal? I can't remember his name. Okay. What was the first name of the bronze medalist in 1984 Olympics from Spain? 94 Olympics in the 1500 meters from Spain. His last name was Abascal. Let me see if I can get his first name. Let's see. His name was José Manuel Abascal. Yes. And I remember González, José Luis González, I think was his name, was expected to do very well, but he didn't. He didn't. He was a disappointment. Una decepción. A disappointment. But José Manuel Abascal won third place. First place was for... And second place were for two British runners whose names I can't remember offhand. A bote pronto se dice en inglés, off con doble F, hand como mano. Offhand means a bote pronto. Yes. But it's very interesting Olympics, by the way. And Spain won, I don't know, maybe six. I think they won only 6 medals in that. 1 gold or 2 golds. And Abascal was from Asturias, I believe, or from Cantabria. I think it was from Asturias. Yeah. 1984. It's a good year for Spain. Spain was soon to become a member of the European Union. And Spain was, during these González years, Spain consolidated itself as a member of the world again and a member of Europe. And a typical example of Western culture and Western civilization. And so... And so it was an interesting year. Also, there was a tragedy. You may remember the escape of gas in Bhopal in India. Union Carbide, had a pesticide plant in Bhopal. And methane gas escaped and resulted in thousands of deaths and long-term health consequences. It destroyed the company. Union Carbide was the second most important chemical company in the world after DuPont or Dow Chemical, and they never recovered from this tragedy. And there were also, who was the number one group? Queen with Freddie Mercury, etc. You may remember. But I'm running out of time again. All good things must come to an end, and once again I have to say goodbye. But I'll be back next Sunday, as usual. Bicho malo nunca muere. Aquí estaré. I'll be back. Take care.